Springfield's Talk 104.1. I'm Nick Reed, and Thursday means Author of the Week, sponsored by ABC Books on North Glenstone. And today, we've got Drew Thomas Allen, a columnist for the Daily Signal, host of the Drew Allen Show podcast, and author of America's Last Stand for Christ and Country, The Martyrdom of Charlie Kirk, and his latest book, Clinton Hoax, Obama Coup, The Declassified Story of the Trump Russia Delusion. And for a lot of people, this they may think this seems dated, but it has been relatively recently that so much of the information that really validated what we suspected came out through declassification. And best I can tell, let me know if this is an accurate headline of it all. At some point, the Clinton campaign came up with this hoax. The Obama administration knew that there was nothing to it, but then Trump won, so they thought, let's lean into this. Is that a fair assessment?
Yeah, it's pretty fair. I mean, the only thing I would add is that, you know, throughout the campaign, right, before he won election, it was what you could call a campaign dirty trick. And it was worse than that because Crossfire Hurricane, which was, of course, the FBI investigation into Trump-Russia collusion, they were spying on the campaign. That was happening throughout the campaign season. It started kind of late July. And, you know, that was pretty horrific. But it was elevated to the level of a legitimate coup on December 9th. So Trump wins election. He overcomes the hoax. And instead of acknowledging, hey, we gave it our best shot, you know, we being Obama, Clinton, the Democrats, the deep state, you know, but he won. Okay, let's just let it go. They didn't let it go. They escalated. So it was Barack Obama who then elevated it to a coup by, on December 9th, ordering the an intelligence community assessment that then would give the government stamp of approval to the hoax to make it seem legitimate. And obviously that led to the Mueller investigation. It hobbled Donald Trump's first term. And the intention, of course, was to undermine the will of the American people.
Now, it seems as if before December 9th, there were maybe mixed messages going on, and you can correct me if my timeline's wrong on this, but I remember during the campaign, there was an event, I want to say Obama was hosting the president of some country at the White House, and he was asked about Trump sowing doubt in the election, and he really mocked the idea that any country could ever interfere in our election, noting that because of the way the different states have the different ways of handling you know, their states' voters, that it just wasn't feasible that there could be any sort of actual interference in our elections. But it appears as if during that same period of time is when you had the Hillary Clinton campaign that was trying to stir some of this up, and even the FBI spying on the campaign. Is all of that happening during the same period of time?
Yeah, it's sort of happening during the entire time. I mean, Obama, you know, would say a couple things to lend a little bit of credibility to it. But he really stayed for the most part in the shadows, working behind the scenes. And, you know, what they knew was, you know, Barack Obama and the White House, their actually unclassified email system had been hacked by the Russians back in 2014. And the New York Times reported on it a year later in 2015. So, you know, the Russians were constantly engaged in this type of activity. As a matter of fact, the Russians had hacked into back in, you know, 08, when Obama was then just a candidate for president, they hacked into some of his aides' emails and things like that. So, you know, the idea that the Russians were, you know, interested in, you know, trying to elect Trump and interfere in such a way was preposterous based on reality and history. And furthermore, you know, in the book, there's a chapter called the Problem with the Premise, and that is the idea that in any world, Putin and the Russians would rather have, you know, Trump as president instead of Hillary Clinton, which was the best thing that happened to the Russians for foreign policy in a very, very long time since the Cold War. You know, it was Hillary Clinton and Obama who misled and actually withheld information about investigations into the Russian companies that were buying our uranium with the uranium deal. It was, of course, you know, Barack Obama who famously before his reelection went over to Russia and told the Russians, you know, hey, you know, I just need a little bit of time here and then I'll have some flexibility. I've just got to win the election first, you know. He was the one who wanted to reset relations and, you know, improve them with Russia, right? So it was completely insane. But The declassified documents, I mean, the gist of them, what's so important is that the FBI and CIA, the intelligence community, during the election season was intercepting Russian memos that were intended for Vladimir Putin. So the Russians were spying on us, certainly. And the irony of it all is that the most accurate portrayal of what the Democrats and Clinton campaign and DNC were up to comes from the Russians, actually. You know, these memos weren't propaganda. They were legitimate, obviously intended for Putin's eyes. So they were doing the job that actually our journalists should have done. But they chronicled the fact that Hillary Clinton was planning this scheme to tie Donald Trump to Putin, that Barack Obama, you know, was interested in making all this go away, that Loretta Lynch, the attorney general, was communicating with the Clintons through back channels to update her on the email scandal. I mean, and all this stuff was verifiable. You know, you could corroborate it because it was happening in real time.
We're talking with our author of the week, Drew Thomas Allen, the book Clinton Hoax, Obama Coup, the Declassified Story of the Trump-Russian Delusion. Russia Delusion. You mentioned the then attorney general, Loretta Lynch, and there was what, if I recall, it was a local photographer that revealed Clinton getting on her plane on the tarmac. I think it was in Nashville. I could be wrong on the details; they're irrelevant. But we were told once that was revealed that, oh, you know, I just went over there to talk about grandkids and so forth, which of course on its face is ridiculous. What was taking place, or what do we know was taking place during that visit?
Yeah, well, we know that the FBI and the Obama administration were trying to figure out a way to make her scandal go away. And at the same time that they were trying to make that go away, they were in the process of, you know, elevating this Steele dossier, this raw, unverified intelligence, which obviously wasn't based on any truth, to basically pivot and to make Trump the bad guy as well, to try and, you know, overshadow her own scandals and impropriety. And, you know, the tarmac meeting took place in Phoenix, and we know from communications from the Russian memos that, you know, yeah, Loretta Lynch had established a back channel to update Clinton's, that Barack Obama was personally interested also in making this go away, that they were trying to help Clinton out. They knew about her schemes. And so that tarmac meeting that took place in Phoenix, where, yeah, Bill Clinton just kind of happens to be there at the same time, goes onto the government jet with Loretta Lynch, and they talk for 30 minutes. And we know because of all this information that came out that was declassified that obviously, you know, a few days after this, that's when she went and met with the FBI. And then a couple days later, James Comey came out and said, you know, yeah, she committed crimes, but because of Hillary Clinton, you know, we're not going to do anything. We don't recommend any kind of prosecutorial action. So we know that they weren't talking about grandkids and golf on that plane.
Hillary Clinton still to this day will blame James Comey for her loss because of the investigation, despite the fact that he, quote, cleared her prior, you know, to I think it was actual election day. But why did that happen? Why, given what the true target and goal was, and that would be stopping Donald Trump from getting elected president, did he end up having that investigation of Hillary Clinton?
Well, it was the only option that he had. It was obviously to her benefit. The other alternative was that they prosecute her because she lied repeatedly, saying that, you know, she didn't send any classified information on her illegal server. That turned out not to be true. And so, what was Comey supposed to do? I mean, he had to come out and justify a way to make it go away. And they did. There were no good options. I mean, when you've committed crimes, you know, and everybody knows that you've committed murder.
Right.
You know, you can't come out and just say, oh, none of that happened. You know, we all lied about it. I mean, you have to still, there were no good options for Hillary Clinton. That was the best thing that could have happened to her. There's something else interesting too, Nick. And I think, you know, it's interesting because the plan to tie Donald Trump to Vladimir Putin and villainize him came long before the WikiLeaks emails even first came out, which is just an interesting timeline development. They were, so, you know, when the WikiLeaks stuff came out, and the big story there was that it was Julian Assange that leaked them. It wasn't Vladimir Putin. So actually Julian Assange should have been the one that was the bad guy, but that didn't further the Russia narrative. Right. And so if the WikiLeaks stuff hadn't come out, you know, she wouldn't have had the ammunition she needed to, you know, propel that Trump-Russia collusion hoax, you know, into orbit. And so it's funny, like all these things, I mean, the WikiLeaks stuff was actually, people think, oh, this is, it was the best thing that could have happened for Hillary Clinton, yeah, because without it, she couldn't have launched it.
Well, and I guess because we know a lot of the successful attempts at squashing certain investigations, I wondered why it was that he even allowed that investigation to take place in the first place, is really what my question was. With Comey on Hillary Clinton, if he just felt pressure like he had to, it was so obvious that they were attempting to assist her, or what was his motivation to actually even have an investigation?
Well, it was congressional pressure, and it was because of Benghazi. You know, I mean, this stuff had been going on for a couple of years. And had you not had Benghazi, you wouldn't have had Trump-Russia collusion, because you wouldn't have had the revelations that she was using a private illegal server. So, you know, this information was out there, so they couldn't not investigate. They had to investigate.
Right.
And the whole investigation was about trying to figure out a way, you know, dragging their feet on how to get away from this. Because remember, at the same time that they were investigating her illegal private server, Peter Schweizer released a book called Clinton Cash.
Mm.
And then you had actually a secondary investigation that was starting into Hillary Clinton, and that was her pay-for-play while she was Secretary of State. The FBI was actually looking into that stuff. So they actually had two different scandals that they were trying to figure out how to get rid of, and this threatened, obviously, to dash her presidential ambitions. So, I mean, it was a very, very serious thing. I mean, all this stuff is being aired publicly. There have been hearings on this stuff. And so, you know, you have to have some sort of investigation. What they had to figure out, though, was how they just kind of make it go away.
We're talking with our author, Drew Thomas Allen, the book Clinton Hoax, Obama Coup, the Declassified Story of the Trump-Russia Delusion. One of the, or I guess, the motivating factor of these folks in the so-called deep state oftentimes is attributed to political ideology. How much of it is that versus the idea that you have, be it the FBI or the CIA, they like someone being in the White House that they have lots of dirt on, because that gives them control, or at least a lot of leverage when they want budgets or new buildings, you know, versus just an ideologically driven way of doing things?
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't begin as an ideological thing. It's simply about power. So, you know, what is the deep state? You know, it's defined as basically the unelected bureaucrats who are like cockroaches and are in there embedded in multiple administrations over a long period of time. So they're the ones that ultimately wield power. And so generally speaking, whether Republican or Democrat is elected president, you know, that president is expected to come in there and become a cog in the wheel. You know, they don't have a lot of latitude with what they're allowed to do, because they say, look, we're here permanently. You know, you're here for 4, maybe 8 if you're lucky and get reelected, but you're going to leave and we're still going to be around. Do you understand? Capiche? And so they knew that Donald Trump was never going to do that. He wasn't going to be a cog in the wheel. He had vocalized it on the campaign trail. And plus, everybody knew Donald Trump, and he was independently wealthy. He was somebody that couldn't be easily controlled. That just wasn't his personality either. He was already a powerful person in the business world. And so, you know, the presidency really was, I mean, it was a sacrificial act in some way. Not to say that he doesn't have an ego. Anybody that wants to be president has to have an ego. But that's the reality of why they came for him so hard and why it was bipartisan.
Well, and so the final question, Trump all along, accurately, he was constantly calling it a hoax, which I thought really underplays it in retrospect. But did Trump know that all of this was untrue simply because, well, he knew that he was not in any way, shape, or form involved, including with Russia? Or did he know what was going on? Did he know about the December 9th meeting and the cover-ups and all of the nefarious things that were going on behind the scenes in order to set him up for this coup?
No, he knew very, very little. You know, I mean, they underestimated the links and the depravity of the deep state. He had no idea. I mean, he was totally blindsided. I mean, he was so set up, whether it was General Michael Flynn, who was entrapped by the FBI, you know, James Comey, who obviously leaked a handwritten note to a friend to give to the press that ultimately launched the Mueller investigation. I mean, he had never experienced anything like it. And, you know, and I mean, no president has experienced that level of opposition before. And this was a guy who didn't come from politics. So he had no way of dealing with it, if that makes sense. You know, I mean,
yeah.
Reagan, for example, had been governor of California. So when he came into the presidency, he had reliable people that he could put in positions. Donald Trump, you know, part of the error of his first term, it's not all his fault. He didn't come from politics, so he didn't have that robust staff and people to trust. He had to trust, you know, people that recommended individuals, and we know those individuals ended up being, weak.
to put it mildly. Our author of the week, Drew Thomas Allen, really appreciate your time this morning. The book again, Clinton Hoax, Obama Coup, the Declassified Story of the Trump-Russia Delusion, author of the week, sponsored by ABC Books on North Glenstone. I'm Nick Reed.